Access number 27791, Mr. Rubenheim's Reel 2. Now, when you were called, so what actual month were you actually called up then?
January the 15th, 1949. That's the date I enlisted. I was called up sometime in the beginning of, end of October, end of November, just December of 1939. January the 15th was the day I had to report.
Now, where were you told to report to?
Boyce Barracks, RAMC Depot, Boyce Barracks, Cookham, Hampshire.
Boyce,
B-O-Y-C-E.
I think. And that's at Cookham.
Cookham.
Crook with an R.
Yeah, Cookham. Cookham, Hampshire.
And that's the RAMC Depot.
It was then. I don't know if it is now. Of course, many things.
But it was the actual main depot.
Yes, at the basic training. See, the system then was different. I think they all go to a central that we don't know now. I was trained straight right away first from, and I went.
Now, what do you remember of the journey down there?
Oh, I forget about it now. Just the training. You had to get a special train at a special time. Met other fellows in the same position, and we met at the station with corporals who, of course, gods to us at that time, and take me to our barracks on the Monday. It was one of the worst winters of the, well, for many many years. Freezing cold. We got there about, I suppose, about 11:30. Enlisted, and I can't to this day ever remember taking the oath of allegiance.
And what was the? I mean, you know that. How were they treating you? Were they treating you well?
We treated them fairly. If you've seen that Bad Lads Army, it wasn't as bad as that for us. I can tell you that.
No, I want to know what it was like for you. Because yeah. That's just a television, but you know.
The first thing is, after we signed on, I got our numbers, which was, I wrote on my hand, which I have still got now. I remember every, like every other serviceman, remember the number.
What was it?
7367918.
And were you kitted out straight away, or?
First of all, we got, after we enrolled, then we went down for a meal, sausage and mash. It was about 11:30, 11:45. We introduced to a back room and told to how to make our bed, etc. And there were no sheets of pillowcases, just three biscuits, army biscuits, you know, a pull-out iron bed, and four blankets.
What were the barrack rooms like? Paint a picture. Were they hut accommodation or was it a big old barrack?
No, it was a professionally constructed, what they called spiders.
What was the barrack room like? How many
spars
in the room?
Oh. Oh, about 20, I suppose, something like that. I can't remember exactly.
10 aside, then.
Some, yeah. Eventually, later on, they topped and tailed us so I could get more in. Because you've got to have, according to Army regulations, you've got to have so much airspace around you. I don't know what it is. So by topping and tailing, you know, everybody could get them more into the back room. There was a corporal inside the back room.
Was it heated? Because, you know,
there was a central stove which only lit at night and a certain amount of coal. And if you last, and of course the discipline was something. The first night, of course, I remember very distinctly. I didn't sleep very much. I don't think anybody else did. And there were several people I could hear sobbing.
Were you homesick?
Oh yes. Yeah. Of course, next day I went on parade.
Now, have you been kitted out yet?
Uniform.
Tell me about kitting out.
We got underwear, socks, boots. PT kit, shirts, battle dress, overcoat, greatcoat, cap, badge, etc. And then, of course, we went on parade and the tailor came round. There's only two sizes in the army, as far as I know, too big or too small. And we kept changing with each other. You can imagine what we come on the arm, shivering with cold, ice is that thick on the arm, shivering with cold, and they say, come on, you know. Anyway, we got used to it after a while. And I spent quite a lot of time, the depot time, chipping ice off the road instead of attending lectures. And one thing I did learn, people have told me, never volunteer. Well, I did. They wanted someone to do in the orderly room. I spent the entire day sitting around a bombstone drinking tea, just running the odd message. And all the others outside, left, right, anyway. We weren't issued with
weapons.
So
what did you have to do as orderly?
Well, wait there for to run messages to different places or tote the fire. Of course, they had no, the coal was not limited. And that went on till...
Now, hang on. Now, we're interested in your training. What was a typical day like? You know,
Rivali, breakfast.
What was the food like? Because army food, how did it compare to your mother's food?
No comparison. But you see,
were you bothered about kosher?
No. But remember this, I had a very healthy appetite. I still have, thank God.
So what did you think of the food compared to with what you were used to?
Well, what I was used to cook, no comparison. Because the army cooks have good food, but the other cooks, they kill it. That's what they say. Anyway, but that's my fault. And we have porridge of breakfast, or bacon, or something like that. Bread, margarine, tea, like a big mug of tea. And then in the midday, the army grub. Vary, of course.
Stews, no
finesse. But it was good, solid food, and it kept you there. And don't go grumbling about it, because that's all you had. Or did have the naffy at night, and would you tea in the wad, or something like that.
And what about tea? Would you get a tea or evening meal?
Yeah, your evening meal around about 6 o'clock. If you want anything after that, you had the navy. But you could quite easily exist on the food they gave you. At least I can only speak for myself.
And you were a hungry lad, but you still managed.
Oh yeah, I didn't never want shorts.
Now what about training? You've got training. So what about drill? How did you take to drill? Foot drill.
I finally got the swing of it. And I used to say, it's more like it made you smart. It made you work together. It's basically discipline, instilling discipline, and also getting you to work as a unit.
Did you enjoy
and of
it
course, in time, I'm also taking first aid lectures. And
I'll
things go, like that.
I will come to that. Don't worry. Mm. I mean, did you enjoy drill, or did you just endure it?
Well, after a while, I began to enjoy it. After a while, because you take your turn at becoming the NCO for the 5 minutes. Mucked it up.
How'd you muck it up?
You've got to give the order on the right foot, the correct foot. I mean the right foot. Didn't give it on the right foot. Give it in the middle. No different. That didn't make me an NCO then. I didn't expect to be.
Now, what other training sessions might you have in the morning? Did you do any weapons training at all? Your RAMC?
No, later on.
But not
the reason we did weapon training was we had to learn how to handle a rifle, to remove the bolt, to disarm it and use it as part of a sling or a splint.
So you weren't learning to shoot?
No, sir. Never fired a gun in my life. I killed a few patients, probably, but never fired a gun.
So no weapons training at all?
As such, no.
Now, what training did you get? So you got drill. What else would you be doing?
Lectures.
What were the lectures like? What were the lectures on?
Anatomy.
No, they can't see it.
Yeah, that's
your training pamphlet.
That's it. That's the one.
And would they run through that? That's training pamphlet number 3.
Yes, but this is the second one. The first one they took away because it's big 1944. It's basic training for advanced first aid.
That's what you were doing.
So mainly,
that includes, I mean, this is things like treatment of burns, dislocations.
Burns, dislocations, gunshot wounds, etc., bleeding.
Simple anatomy.
Yes, yeah.
And just
But
simple medicine. It starts...
I learned how to make beds, how to give bed back trays, special trays for... Nursing trays.
Were the lectures on all these things?
Yes.
So would you do theoretical first and then move on to practical, or were there practical sessions at the same time?
We didn't have anybody to work on, but we had dummies, and we learned how to make beds. For instance, I learned how to make a bed for a man who's going to have an amputation for the left leg or the right leg, or a back tray, just to prevent bed sores, which came in handy, actually, when my wife had trouble.
You just had this. You basically worked through this training pamphlet,
as much as
the earlier version, obviously.
Yeah.
And were there anything that you were particularly interested in?
Oh, don't forget we had our inoculations in there. Inoculations.
I'll come back to that. The bandages. I mean, how did you find the bandaging?
I was able to do it. I was even able. At one time during the desert campaign, I had a man came in who was shot
Training.
You learn. Some people took to it, others didn't. But it didn't mean to say they got out of the RDMC. They were given duties like general duty orderlies or digging latrines and things like that. Because that also comes into it eventually.
Did you find bandaging difficult? I mean,
I didn't have trouble. I was able to do it. Like shoulder spikers and things like that, I was able to do.
Thomas splints.
That's not just a bandage. Thomas splint is a special thing. This is for fractures and gunshot wounds and things like that.
They were teaching you that as well. I just noticed it. Quite advanced, that is.
Oh yeah, it was. Well, it had to cram as much as you could in, because before we left there, I took my first examination, became a third-class nursing orderly.
So that's what you were training as?
Yes.
And what about nursing generally, the skills of nursing?
We learn how to pick people up in bed, to roll them over and prevent bed sores and give enemas, which I became quite an expert at.
So
I can give enemas two ways, with the heat of the syringe, which makes you stand up, or with a funnel a funnel and tube, and I forget the end of it. They put the end in. It's call it a teat, if you like. And high one, low one, rectal lavage, you know, to get it out. Tell you a story about that later on.
Yeah,
you know.
We want it. Keep everything in order, though. That's the way we do it.
Chronically, yeah.
So I did
that training and took that examination.
Were the exams? So you do practical, you lectures, lots of practical sessions.
Yeah.
We'll come to the exams later. What else might you be doing in the day? Or was that most of the day?
Most of the day. Of course, during the time, we also went to dental treatment and PT.
Tell us about the PT. Country. How fit were they trying to get you? What sort of PT from fitness?
They're very high standard, because they had PT instructors from a PT school. And I found it difficult, because I was never very strong. Others took to it like duck to a wall.
So what sort of? I mean, marches?
They were pretty strict and pretty severe in that sense. Discipline was hard, but not more than you could take.
So how far on a route march?
We started perhaps 10 miles.
That's quite a way.
Oh yeah, but you didn't do that the first week. It was a couple of miles this week and so on. First of all, with a pack, without pack, then with a pack, then full pack, and so on. Eventually, we did, I think, as long as it was about 15 miles, full scale marching order, that is, with everything, you know, but no, except a weapon.
And were you doing all the.
Oh, yes, calisthenics as well, yeah, yeah.
And what about assault courses, things like that?
I did the assault course, there was. But mainly, I think it was to toughen us up for bad countries, which later on we needed that.
Did you get fitter? I mean, you said you were.
I was much fitter, but I was never an athlete.
But your level of fitness went up as a result.
Have stamina, and I still have. I think that came out later when we were in the desert.
Now, I forgot to mention, you know, you were trained as a first-class nursing orderly. Did that include...
Third-class nursing orderly.
Third, sorry.
You have to go to the first-class comes later.
I'm deaf. Third-class nursing. Did that include learning how to stretcher bear? Because
Stretcher bearing is basic part of it, but normally the stretcher bearing was done, because the system is entirely different now. The stretcher bearing was done mainly by... stretcher bearing men in the units concerned, like the infantry or whatever.
So they'd have stretcher bearers who'd bring him to you.
No, they would want to an ambulance who would bring him to us. The point is that was the layout as it was supposed to be. I've got a layout of from the regiment lay post, the collecting post. I can tell you about the formation of my company later.
We will do that. Hmm. So the stretcher bearing, you did learn to do it, but it wasn't part of your job, really.
Most of the stretcher bearing that I did was from ambulance to bed to ambulance, from evacuation, etc. Not mainly that, but you did whatever was called upon the circumstances at the time.
Now, you mentioned vaccinations. Presumably you had them. What were they like? What impact did they have on you? Because sometimes
I had no reaction. No bad reaction, except that my arm was very stiff, and we were excused duties for 48 hours.
not much of a...
Some had bad reactions, but I had...
What did they have go wrong? I mean, what could go wrong with a vaccination?
Well, I don't know. It's like getting the disease itself, in some ways. I mean, we had TAB, tetanus AMV, anti-tetanus injections, and vaccine, because I'd never been vaccinated, but I had no reaction at all. Just got the passed okay. And of course, dental treatment, which I'd never had in my life.
Now, you'd be doing these lessons and things all day.
Yeah.
About what time would you finish?
About five.
And then what would happen from five onwards?
Well, you get back to billet. Pull the bed out. You're allowed to pull your bed out, make your bed. Then you have your evening meal, and then you were free till, unless you were on any duty, 23:59. Like 12 o'clock.
And what would you do in the evening?
Well, we'd sit round and talk. We'll go to the naffy because that till that closed.
And now, what did the canteen offer you as a young lad?
Well, cigarettes, chocolates, sweets on ration, of course. Tea.
Was it a wet canteen?
Yes.
You could buy a pint if you wanted.
Yeah.
Did you drink then?
No, I still don't.
So you were teetotal?
Not exactly. I'm not against it, but doesn't appeal to me.
So it wasn't.
I sat there and talked. We talked. But one thing I did avoid was politics.
Now why? Because you were political.
Yes, because I was amongst a lot of people. Remember this: there were very few Jews in that particular section, I thought it best to keep a low profile in that sense. Although I made it quite clear that being Jewish, I was an ambassador for my people.
Did you encounter any anti-Semitism in the unit?
Not there. Basically, I did in one unit towards the end of the war, and I found it amongst the officers.
But not then?
No.
Not early on?
No.
They treated you as everybody else?
Yes, exactly. Yes. Except that, of course, when it came to church parade, I didn't go to church parade, a rabbi came and spoke to us. But not on Saturday, one on Sunday. There was a story attached to that, which I'll tell you about.
Were there many Jews in the unit, Jewish people?
I think in mine, I know three, including myself. There may have been others who were there under false pretenses. So I think.
Now, how did you get on with the other lads? You know,
got on very well.
I mean, were they all the same sort of lads, same sort of background? Oh, not Jewish, no, obviously, but I mean class-wise.
Well, they came pretty much from the same background, you know, working class. Well, I mean, all different parts of the country, obviously, and different accents, and we got on very well.
No bullying?
No, from anybody, no. Except that we had one fellow who wouldn't bath.
So what happened to him?
We gave him one, with his clothes on.
How roughly? Because you know there's different degrees of that business.
Well, we used a yard brush on him.
So quite rough.
Yeah, it didn't hurt him because he did it through his uniform. And then the barrack room still. Of course, you had barrack room inspection. And we never got any.
So he was just a one-off and he wouldn't bath?
No, eventually he got his discharge because he was, I think...
You're making a sign that he was nuts.
I don't think he was nuts. I think he was very determined to get it out and do anything to do. One of the things he used to do, instead of getting out of bed, he'd use his mug for his urinal and swing it out in the morning just instead of washing it out and go straight to the... That's what he's supposed to do. Whether he did or not, I don't know. That's the rumour that went round. But he certainly wasn't very pleasant in his attitude, and his presence was not only felt, but smelt.
And you think he was swinging?
Well, later on, with my experience that I got in the medics, people either swinging the leg, I think that he was putting it on to some extent. Although he finally did get his papers.
So it worked for him?
Yes. I mean, he must have gone through hell because he was taken away from us after a few weeks.
Now, how did you get on with the instructors? What did you think of them, the way they treated you, the discipline?
Well, of course, a bit harsh. First being taken over by a sergeant. Eventually, I had a guard sergeant who did the drilling.
And how did they treat? I mean, were they fair? Were they good?
Oh, the same as they treated every other person. We're no different to them.
So they were fair?
They were fair.
Shouting?
I never got... Shouting, brilliant, you know. Never blasphemous, never using, never put you know, like you hear on this thing.
So no swearing?
Well, they couldn't, you know, I don't think like that, you know. But But you know, but it wasn't.
But not blasphemy.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't vicious. It wasn't. It was, you were just one of the same, all in the same boat. They weren't picking you out. I never got the feeling that I was being picked on.
Did they know the stuff?
Oh yes, I think they did, because most of our instructors were RAMC men. Our sergeants had been in it for years, regulars, obviously. They not only knew their drill, they knew their nursing and everything.
Now, what about your officers? Did you see much of your officers at this stage?
No, you've got to remember. The RAMC, most officers are qualified doctors of some sort.
So you would
not necessarily so at the base depot, I don't know, because I've been training the officers. I never came in contact with the officers very much, except on paper aid.
Now, how were you allowed out at all? I mean, from
after the first week, we were allowed into town.
Into Crookham?
Crookham, yeah. A locus, but yeah.
Is it but Crookham or Crookham?
Crookham.
With an R, yes. Sorry, I keep mishearing.
I'm not sure, but it's Crookham. Crookham or Crookham? I know it's Hampshire, Boyce Barracks. Crookham, it is Crookham. I think it is Crookham.
Now, would you go out into Crookham then? Was that, what would you do when you went out?
Well, we'd go to pictures mainly. Of course, if not, no good going in the pub because the beer was cheaper than nothing.
So pictures is the main thing. What about dances, dinner?
Pictures and dancing and things. But I'm not a dancer, so. But mostly I sat in the naffy talking about home and about the food we liked. Not that the food we were getting, not that it was bad, but it couldn't compare with the home cooking. Obviously not.
Now, what about your exam? How long were you there? You got there in January 1940.
I left just about a week before, two weeks before the Easter, which would be March, I suppose.
So you were there about 3 months.
Yeah.
And was there an exam at the end of it to pass
yes,
out?
Yes, I had to pass a matron from a hospital, a sister, two doctors, and I got my third grading, which you got an extra 3 months a day, I think. Lot of money.
And how did they? I mean, did they just? Was it mainly oral, or was there a written side?
No, mainly oral and practical. Oral and practical. I don't really have any written subjects at all. And then I was posted to.
That's the next thing. So yeah. Where did you go in March?
Right in March, I went to a place in Red called Red Car, Coatham Convalescent Home in Red Car.
Now, how do you spell that?
Cotham Convalescent Home, Red Car, Yorkshire. I think it's still there. And
What were you doing? You were going as a third class
nursing orderly to a cadre which was composed mainly of Geordies and Scotsmen. And we were only very few Londoners then, and we were the outcasts. Like not one of us got any promotion.
What were you there for?
To make up a complete unit.
You were forming up a what?
A casualty clearing station, which is about 250 yards, including five sisters. Four sisters and a matron, sorry.
And that's what was... you were based at Cotham Convalescent Home.
That was under 14th CCS, yes, that was the 14th. However, over...
The 14th casualty clearing station was based at Cotham...
For the time, yeah. Prior to going out, of course, we all were getting ready to go overseas. Everybody knew that, but we didn't know where, because Dunkirk came in, didn't they, in May.
So you were forming the unit?
Yeah. We're bringing the cadre up to strength, because, as I said, they're mainly...
Now, were you doing duties at the convalescent home, or were you...
Not nursing, no, training.
What training were you getting there?
Same training as regarding at Boys Barracks. Without the square bashing, although we did parades and things like that, but more intimate, more advanced nursing and first aid.
So just a continuation.
Continuation.
Raising your standards.
Yeah. And I was there for about just over the Easter, looking forward to coming home on my first leave. I was taken ill with measles.
Now that's pretty serious. I mean,
We have seven doctors on that unit. Each one didn't believe me when I said I'd had it before. But they took me to an isolation hospital, I think called Aston or Eston, I don't know, somewhere in deep in the country. And I was there for several weeks. I was on a danger list. I had a night nurse and a day nurse to myself. And I nearly did go under.
You got it a second time.
Yes.
That's unusual, isn't it?
Yes. They didn't believe it. I was telling you, I finally started to recover, and they said to me one day, in fact, so much so that I was ill, that they wouldn't allow me to clean my own teeth.
Why not?
Because I was so weak and the heart was being affected by the virus. Anyway, so I recovered slowly, and I was very, very weak. They had brought me in lunch, and the sister said, my night nurse, day nurse says to me, you can get up afterwards the first time. So me, I got out of bed and collapsed. Of course, I was in bed for another week. Eventually, I returned to my unit, but this time, the 14th CCS was full up, and I was transferred to the 15th CCS.
And they were also
exactly the same, yeah. So now I'm in the 15th CCS. Glad to find that my mate, who's been in the 14th CCS, was also transferred to the 15th CCS.
And this again was exactly the same, being built up prior to being sent off.
Of course, people get, and then of course, from Coton Convalescent Home, we moved to a place called Hyington in Durham.
To where?
Hyington. H-E-I-G-H-I-N-D-T-O-N. It had been built, was in the process of being built as a mental institution. And we had the barracks, you know, the windows wouldn't open before without a key, and there was a padded cell at the other room which the corporal took over and we closed the door on it. He couldn't get out till we opened it up. And it was the middle of a field.
And when did you go there? What month would that be?
Well, this was about Easter, just before Easter of 1940.
That's a lot happening round about Easter, because I thought you were in hospital a while.
No, I was transferred there just before Easter, and this happened over the Easter period. I was supposed to be on leave for the afterwards, you know. I never did get the leave.
So this is about April.
Something like that, yeah.
It's always Easter moves about. Mm-hmm. You know,
anyway, if we move.
So what were you doing at Hyington?
Same thing, training. And re-equipping now, because now we're getting down to really see. I took my second class examination and passed that.
What did that involve? What did you have to know that you didn't know?
Well, this time we were examined by our own doctor, our own officers, and our own nurses. And the same sort of thing, but much more advanced than we'd had before. I mean, she's asked me to, will I do an amputation tray for a left leg? And how do I make the bed? And she said, now, what do you do when the patient comes back and all that? This is now nursing, it's not first aid. And I carried on there till I went to Hyington. And then from Hyington.
That's what I was asking, when did you go to Hyington?
I can't remember.
You don't remember, right?
No, I can't remember. Well, I think we're at Hyington about 3 months, something like that. And
so
I know
roughly
that
till July.
July, August, because I know on August. August the 4th, was it? We were embarked on the Franconia at Gourock.
Now, did you know where you were going to?
No, not for certain. We knew it wasn't France, at least. We guess it wasn't France, because France was fallen with them. I went to Gourock, and...
What were conditions like on board the Franconia? It's a big ship, isn't it?
Yeah, it was. For the officers, okay. For us, it was... Well, I was lucky, because I got a bunk in what had been a squash court. I had a proper bunk. And we did training on board, and I must tell you, and I remember that I said I was very myopic